Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
All right, everybody, welcome to the show. Neil, how is it going this week, man?
It's going pretty well, honestly. I had a very enjoyable Memorial Day weekend, which I wasn't quite expecting, but a lot of things just sort of came together. And
like what?
Our buddy Joe from college and his family were in town. So I got to see them. Paul, podcast Paul, and his girlfriend were in town, so I went on a hike with them and Alex and his wife. So you know, it was pretty good. Although I did have a very like bizarrely surreal experience on Sunday with Joe. They came up to visit me, and we went to Mass together, and then we were going to go to the zoo, but the weather was cruddy, so. Joe has some younger kids, so like, you know, going on vacation for them is totally boring, except that the hotel pool is the greatest thing on earth. I don't know if you guys remember that phenomenon as a kid. But so we were driving to their hotel, which was 40 minutes away, and as we're driving, traffic slows down, and I'm in the center lane of three, and the right hand lane is merging, and you know, there's some kind of accident up ahead. As I get closer and closer, I'm thinking, oh, you know, it's looks like somebody hit a deer. I get closer, and it's not a deer. It was somebody hit a pony in the middle of the highway.
Holy damn. Shit.
Like four, like, late teens, early 20 girls just, like, crowded around this dead pony, just sobbing.
Oh, my God.
Pony didn't make it. And then, like, I get further up and I see, like, a truck with a horse trailer pulled over to the side of the road. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, how did the pony get out of this thing? Like, it's not like it was, like, a little Sebastian scenario where it's, like, a fenced-in trailer. Like, this is a enclosed trailer. Like, there's windows with bars on them so the horse can breathe. Right. But, and it's not like you've got a dog in the car and he starts whimpering and you have to, you know, find a spot to let the dog out. You know, pony goes in the trailer and you clean it out later, right?
Yeah, this is the Harry Houdini of ponies. He escaped from his...
The only thing I can think of is that it kind of looked like the trailer had sort of like a garage door. Like, you know, you start at the bottom and lift it up to let the pony out. And maybe somebody didn't like latch the bottom properly and they hit a bump and the garage door flipped up and pony's like, oh, freedom! And then just immediately gets smeared by an SUV. But, you know, this is a string of words that I never thought I would say in a sentence together.
Damn.
That's crazy. Well,
that is certainly something. You had a very eventful weekend, Neil.
Yeah.
Wow, dude. Yeah, no kidding.
Well, I don't know if you're gonna be able to top that one, Gideon, but go ahead and give it a try.
I mowed my lawn and I'm very happy about it.
Nice.
So that's always fun to get.
Does your mower self-propel?
No, unfortunately, but it is electric, so I don't have to buy gas. I just switch out the batteries, so that's pretty nice.
Okay.
And it has like a bag, so I just put it in like a compost bag and then take it downtown.
Mm-hmm.
What else did I do? Oh yeah, I beat the Doom Eternal DLC finally, part two. So now I'm all done with that. I beat it on Ultra Violence, which I think is hard mode.
Yeah, it's like one step up from normal.
Right. And I did play a little bit of Dark Ages already, but yeah, just like you mentioned, I'll probably restart that. And I finished season two of The Rehearsal, which was some of the most like excellent documentary style TV show I've ever seen. What else have I done?
Is this the Nathan Fielder show?
I heard
the finale was phenomenal.
It was so good, dude. It was amazing. And yeah, it's only 6 episodes each season. There's only 2 seasons. Highly recommend that show. It's super good. But yeah, and then just been chilling otherwise. Yeah.
Cool, man. Well, you guys both know what I was up to this weekend. I set off on Saturday morning for a motorcycle trip around the North Woods of Minnesota. So, all the way from Minneapolis to the Wisconsin side, St. Croix Falls, which is probably not too far from River Falls, where Neil's neck of the woods is.
No, not too far at all.
Yeah. So, went up to St. Croix Falls, walked around there a little bit. Probably did 5 hours of riding on the first day, right? So from Minneapolis to St. Croix Falls to all the little small towns up the Wisconsin side. Then eventually found my way to Superior, which is on the Wisconsin side, crossed the bridge over into Duluth, and was back in Minnesota, basically. But on, obviously, Lake Superior. And then the next morning, woke up early, got an awesome salmon, smoked salmon bagel. That I think they get like the salmon like out of Lake Superior, so that was nice. Freaking awesome. And then rode up the North Shore of Minnesota, like almost to Canada. Didn't quite get to Canada because it was too cold on the shore with the wind coming off the water. I mean, it was the actual temperature outside was probably like 57, 58, but with the wind chill, when you're going like 65 on the bike, that could be pretty brutal. So abandoned the North Shore going to Canada and went west from Silver Bay, probably an hour from the Canadian border, through it's called the Superior National Forest. It's like a huge 4 million acre forest in the north of Minnesota. Like that's all that's up there. And there are moose and there are wolves and there are bears and there are mountain lions. Like all the crazy North American animals live in that forest. And so I don't mean to one up you, Neil, but I saw a dead moose when I was riding through the forest. So I was like going along at like 60 miles an hour. And I was like, what the hell is that? Is that like a deer? And then I got closer to it and it was enormous. And my first thought was that it was a horse. And I was like, that doesn't make any fucking sense. Like, why would there just be a dead horse on the side of the road? And I got a little closer and it was a dead moose.
Do you know what got it? Like, was it?
No, I would assume a car because it was pulled off to the side of the road, just like a dead deer or something like that.
Damn.
But it was a pretty grisly scene. Sped through. I also saw.
Want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Mountain lion, that was pretty cool. So went through the North Forest, got all the way to Hibbing, Bob Dylan's hometown, which was a total shithole. That place was a total nightmare. I don't know if either of you have been to Hibbing, Minnesota, but oh my God. It was like a bomb went off. It was like downtown Muscatine, but like a million times worse.
What's the town called?
Oh, Hibbing. Up. It's like 2,000 people or something like that. It's okay. Like it's pretty small. I got a few pictures there. I went to Bob Dylan's childhood home. I just took pictures on the outside. That was cool. And then rode back. So on the second day, which would have been Sunday, I probably rode for 7 or 8 hours. So I was beat by the time I got home Sunday night. I was absolutely exhausted. I wouldn't have been able to go another hour or something like that. So, yeah, had quite the adventure. Didn't have any like close calls in terms of dangers or skids or sliding or anything like that. It was
snags or anything, nothing acting up.
No, bike was fine. I had to stop for gas a lot. I did run into a situation where I was like probably within 10 minutes of like completely being out of gas, and I was in the middle of absolute nowhere. But there was a bar kind of out in the middle of nowhere, kind of like a, just, I don't want to say a hole in the wall, because there is no wall. I mean, it was out in the middle of the forest. I mean, there was just some like fisherman's bar out in the middle of the forest, and I stopped and I was like, hey, where do I get gas around here? He was like, keep going 2 miles down the road, you'll be good. And I made it, and so I didn't have to like bang on anybody's door and ask them to give me a ride at the gas station or anything like that. And then I didn't want like the Northern Woods version of Deliverance to happen to me. So
yeah, I was gonna say you didn't have to abide by the unwritten rule of the road.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, otherwise it was a good time. It was it was certainly an adventure, and I got some great photos, and I learned a lot. You know, like you have to limit the amount of riding you do in a day or you're gonna wear yourself out. I learned a lot about the weather situation when you're going that fast. I definitely learned that I need a faster bike, because my bike was completely maxed out for, I would say, like 90% of the ride time.
Really?
Yeah. My bike is a 350cc, so it goes like 60 with me on it, and not any faster than that. So
dang, okay.
If you're on an interstate, or not an interstate, but if you're on a country highway where people are trying to go 70, 75, people are constantly going around you, which isn't a, it's not like, I'm not afraid of like being emasculated because I can't go very fast. I just feel unsafe because people are constantly like going around me.
Right.
So, next time I do a big trip, I will probably have an upgraded bike or something like that, I think.
Nice.
So I would like to have the extra headroom. So, yeah, anyway, enough about that. I've also been playing a little bit of Doom, but that's, you know, neither here nor there. I'm probably going to start that over. Maybe we can book club that as we both go through it.
Yeah.
So we're here to talk about the, let's see, 1995, I almost said classic, let's say infamous summer blockbuster Waterworld with Kevin Costner. Neil, you said you had a question ready to go about Waterworld, but I thought, do you want everybody to kind of give their background on what their history with this movie is first?
My question was actually sort of meant for our previous segment where we just covered what we were going to do. So,
go ahead.
Well, okay. So, we are getting into, so like, actually I can tie this into Waterworld. So this was originally, Waterworld was originally Roger Corman production.
Yeah.
And he dropped out when he decided that it couldn't be made for less than $5 million after some script rewrites. Roger Corman, famous B movie producer, you know, just made a million movies on a budget. And you know, it eventually morphed into what was supposed to be like, you know, the big summer blockbuster. So, and as we get into summer blockbuster season, are there any movies coming up that you guys are particularly looking forward to? For myself, even though I didn't watch the previous one yet, I might make my mom go see the new Jurassic World movie just to make her hate me a little bit.
Honestly.
Have you guys seen any of the new, like, ever since it was Jurassic World? I know there's been three of them, so this would be the fourth one. I mean, have you guys seen those? Do you like them? What's your guys' take on that?
I think I just saw the first one when they first started coming out.
I saw the two that were I saw the reboot and I saw the second one, and then the previous one was like about bugs, and I haven't seen the bug movie.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one because I heard it was more bugs than like dinosaurs, and I was like, okay, there's clearly a problem with that. I am excited for Mission Impossible, the Final Reckoning, which I think is out now. We're gonna probably try and see that soon. A horror movie called Bring Her Back, which is by the directors of Talk to Me, and I really, really liked Talk to Me, so I can't wait to see that.
It's gonna see Superman.
Oh yeah, definitely want to see Superman. I'm excited for that. Ballerina. That I'm just looking at an article to kind of refresh my mind what's even coming out, but it's like that John Wick spin-off movie.
28 years later, it's coming out.
Oh yep, yep.
Yeah. I might that sounds like a fun, like, Grace has a magical quality of turning even mediocre movies into like fun movie going experiences. So and Ralph Fiennes is in it, so I will probably go see 28 years later. That sounds good. I will say the Trilon Theater here in Minneapolis is doing Star Wars on film on 35 millimeter.
Ooh, nice.
All three of the originals over the course of the summer. So I will probably go see one, if not more, of those.
Eddington, Ari Aster's next film, comes out July 18th. I definitely want to see that.
Yeah, you're going to have to see that one for me and then report back before I spend more time with Ari Aster.
I get that. Fantastic Four. Hope it's good. I hope they do a good one. But, you know, who knows with Marvel these days.
The comedian who says, Fantastic Four, I haven't even seen Fantastic Three.
kind of in line with that, Jamie or... Laura and I recently rewatched the like 2005 King Arthur movie, which I'm going to butcher the pronunciation of his name because it's very Welsh. I think it's Owen Gruffydd was like the Jessica Alba Fantastic Four Mr. Impossible. Mm-hmm. And he apparently was in contention with Mads Mikkelsen for the role. And Mads Mikkelsen walked out of the audition when the director asked him to spread his arms out so wide as if he were going to embrace the entire world.
Yeah, that's
but that, both of them are
as the kids say, that's cringe.
But both of them reunited in the King Arthur movie, so that was fun to see.
Do either of you know what a labubu is?
No, what is that? Labubu.
A labubu, it's like, this is totally off topic, but when I was just talking about like the kid, you know, what the youths today are into, it's like this Beanie Baby kind of thing that they're really popular in China, and now they're starting to get over here, and they're starting to become really, really popular over here. They're just like little stuffed plushies with ceramic faces, okay, and they kind of look like Where the Wild Things Are.
Yeah, okay.
I was just wondering if either of you, like, you know, especially Neil, because you hang out with, you know, well, I don't say you hang out with kids. Your job is to teach kids, so maybe you would have heard about it.
No, now that you've described it, I remember it coming up a couple of times, but not overly familiar.
Okay. Well, the moral of the story is I was listening to a game podcast, and they were talking about how cute their labubus were, and then I looked them up, and I'm apparently weak-minded and susceptible to hype and trends because I ordered two labubus off of eBay. So,
well, I'm now order.
I'm now officially DeLulu for labubu. I just got a gray one for me and a pink one for Grace.
Oh, okay, interesting. Okay, cool.
Yeah, so if any of you are looking to do something stupid this summer, go ahead and get yourself a little boo-boo and you can join the club.
Sigma Cinema, currently endorsed by LaBooBoo Products.
So the only way to get them in most places is like they're sold in these like automatic robot vending machines.
Right. Like,
and gotcha. Because, right. And they're in the US as well. There's one in the Roseville Mall here in Minneapolis. And people camp out like 10 hours early to try to like buy out the entire stock of LaBooBoos and then go sell them on eBay. So it's very hard to get a hold of one of these little bastards. So anyway, let's talk about Waterworld, guys. Now that we're more than like 20 minutes into the podcast. So what was everybody's previous knowledge about Waterworld going into this? Neil, you were the one who brought it into the podcast. So why don't you tell us your history with it and then why you brought it, and then Gideon and I can talk about, we can try to figure out where we've, you know, what we know about Waterworld.
Yeah, so I'd seen this like partially and completely like several times. I feel like this was like one of those like perpetually on like late night cable, like, or you know, you turn on the TV at the hotel and you just like skim around and like, oh, Waterworld showing. Just like something that's like perpetually on in the background. And I remember really liking parts of it and really hating other parts. And then I remembered like it's remembered pretty vividly for being a major flop. Prior to Titanic, it was the most expensive movie ever made. But then I had read an article a couple weeks ago where like the perception of it being a box office flop is actually not true. It didn't make nearly as much money as was hoped, but it was a successful product as far as like the financial end of things go. But you know, it was also a mess as far as like production goes. We'll, you know, we'll talk about some of the details and funny stories of that, but it's like we've like going back to Alita Battle Angel, we talked about how that was in production hell for 10-15 years, and like the sequel seems to be in production hell. But listening to some of the stories about the making of Waterworld, like the production was literally hell for the cast and crew in a lot of ways. So I guess that would be a fun way to sort of like, you know, get into our summer blockbuster mode, and I feel like there's a lot to dig into here.
Well, yeah, Gideon, how about you?
I similarly, like, I had always just heard it was like this big flop, but I didn't really know anything about it other than the name. I don't think I'd really seen any clips or anything or trailers. And I feel like I spent my whole life thinking this movie came out in the 80s for some reason. But it came out in 95. I don't know why I thought that about the 80s. But yeah, so I went in just totally blind with this. And I feel like, so I watched it on Stars. I was able to get like a free trial and I watched it on that. And I'm glad I didn't read the description, because I felt like it kind of like spoiled some surprises in the movie, let's say. So yeah, I just went in totally blind.
Okay. Yeah, I knew about this movie, and I just kind of knew that it had an infamous reputation. I thought it like had a bad reputation for being bad. But as I've read more about it, I think the general consensus is that, I mean, despite what Neil says, the general consensus kind of out there is that it just costs a lot of money, and it was just like a development hell, and it was like more bad from a financial situation. And it wasn't that the movie itself was like the worst thing ever. It was just like mediocre and slightly disappointing for a movie of such a high budget at that time. So you know, I knew that it had an infamous reputation, but other than that, I didn't know anything about it aside from the world is covered in water. I mean, I knew that that was basically the premise, and that was right. That was totally it. So where do we want to start? Neil, how about you give us your kind of 10,000 foot thoughts, and we'll go around and we'll do that, and then we'll kind of get into the nitty gritty.
So, you know, without giving too much away, I do think after a rewatch that my general impression of there are some parts of this that I still really, really like, and there are other parts that are just absolute garbage. Is still fairly accurate, or maybe not necessarily garbage, but this movie is very disjointed. It went through a ton of script rewrites, some of which were like happening while they were shooting. I think famously they brought in Joss Whedon to punch up the script, and he describes it as an awful experience where like Kevin Costner would not listen to him at all. Part of the one aspect of Development Hell was that the movie was originally being directed by Kevin Reynolds, who I believe was the director for Kevin Costner's Robin Hood movie. And the two had like a falling out during the making of that movie. And then they had another major falling out during the making of this. And like Kevin Reynolds just like left the project. So Kevin Costner had to, quote unquote, had to take over as director partway through. This was very much his baby. Like he got paid $14 million to be in the movie, and he put like $22 million of his own money into the production. So it's just like there are parts of the movie that like it's obviously like a Mad Max ripoff in a lot of ways, and a lot of that's really great. But then there's other parts that are very like kiddie, and it just doesn't mesh well. It's very much like grafted together Frankenstein's monster-esque as far as like tone and the humor versus like the darker aspects. It just doesn't always work.
Yeah, I think that's like a very fair-handed assessment. It's kind of similar to what I'm going to end up talking about. How about you, Gid? Kind of 10,000 level thoughts?
Yeah, for me, I think it was just interesting seeing, how much budget was put into this movie, and you could just see how much work, like, the whole time I was watching this, I was just, like, so nervous for everybody working on it. I was like, this looks so dangerous, like, everywhere they're walking, and the conditions are probably so grueling, just being, like, on the water and the sun beating down like crazy. So I do appreciate the effort. And obviously, yeah, you know, we're going to compare it to Mad Max, and plenty of people have. But even with that, like, I don't know. It, like, I had a lot of problems with, like, I don't know if you'd say, like, the visual language of it, just how it, like, the world and everything. Like, I was, like, kind of shocked at how gross everything was. Like, really gross. Even the opening, like, I could see, I was like, oh, okay, I could see why this is gonna be controversial.
I'll never understand why the first thing they showed in this movie was Kevin Costner trying to drink his own piss. That was just like, there were so many other ways you could have established like that this world is brutal and it's like survivalist, but it's like the first thing you see in the movie.
Yeah, that was like one of the most bold openings I've seen in a while. Right. But yeah, I'll get more into it later, but I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I largely agree with you, Neil. It's like there's a lot to actually like about this movie. Not least of which is Dennis Hopper, who turns in an awesome performance as Deacon, the leader of the smokers. Like him rolling down the thing, passing out cigarettes like they're candy, is like totally awesome.
Never too young to start.
Oh God, he was so awesome in this movie. But and you know, like I think if you remove people, I think people would be like, well, it's a Mad Max ripoff. It's like, well, okay, but like, you know, I'm sure Mad Max took a lot of inspiration from Dune and other movies that came before it. So well, in the case of Dune, it was a book first. You understand what I mean. But anyway, so I think that it being like derivative is not necessarily a knock against it. I think it is like an interesting premise, and it is an interesting world that they've created, and kind of this like dystopia and like the rules of it. Like, why is dirt so valuable? Things like that. The whole mutation thing, like Kevin Costner has gills and webbed feet, and like how many of those are out, how many of those guys are out there in the water? The weird like rules of the sea. It's like, okay, we have to be cool to each other and like trade. You know, like there's like this like rule book that's kind of hinted at, like these things. I think there's a lot to like. My main issue with the movie is that Kevin Costner's character is extremely unlikable, and we don't want to root for him. And then by the time the movie realizes that we need to make him, that it needs to make us root for him, it's already like three quarters of the way over. He's been a dick for like an hour and a half of this movie. And then we're just going to be like, oh no, you're cool now because you're giving the little kid a swimming lesson. You know, even though 10 minutes ago you were like going to sell her mom's body for prostitution on the high seas to some,
and he threw her into the ocean before.
Yeah.
Right? Like the girl.
It was hilarious. Let's be real.
That was hilarious.
There are a lot of unintentional, like when he came around and with the giant oar and knock the fuck out of the mom, like when she was underneath the thing, I flapped so fucking hard.
When he got flung from like the mast, like super far, like holy shit!
Like... Yeah, so yeah. I just think that like there's a lot to like about this movie, but ultimately it fails on a character, and like a likability kind of thing. And like Kevin Costner's character sucks, and his acting sucks. Like he's so flat and horrible in his own movie. Like
a lot of people are flat in this movie.
He's so good in like Field of Dreams is like one of the best movies ever. He's so good in so many other movies. I don't understand why he's so bad in this. But again, you know, I would say, you know, sort of like a mixed bag, like Neil said. So where do you guys want to take it? Neil,
One thing I want to jump in on is like, yeah, so Kevin Costner as the protagonist is not a good protagonist because he's hard to like for most of the movie. But like, you know, there's something to be said for like being, you know, like the, you know, like a charming dick, or, you know, like being gritty. But like, I don't even like the female leads in the, like, I don't like the little girl. I don't like her surrogate mom. Everybody's stupid in this movie.
And the old guy in the helicopter, whatever thing is.
Yeah.
Grampton.
Like, I just like, I don't enjoy, like when he gets angry and like, you know, it, you know, punishes them by like cutting off their hair. Like, first off, you know, great choice to get rid of the little girl's braids. Like those were atrocious. But like on some level I was like, yeah, he's kind of justified because you're being stupid. Like you're making bad choices and you're not like, I don't like any of the leads. I don't like any of like the good guys for so much of the movie.
Yeah, but I would watch a movie about Dennis Hopper. I mean, did everybody like Dennis Hopper in this movie?
Dennis Hopper is like the best part of this movie.
Yeah, Dennis Hopper awesome. Is an exception because I haven't seen too much of him, but I've always just seen him as a villain, and he's always just very intimidating and scary, and you know, so that's pretty effective for a villain. So I feel like he gave his all. But yeah, the three main leads feel super flat. They're just all kind of annoying. Yeah, I mean, especially with like, it's like right from the get-go with just the opening of him drinking his piss. Like, one thing I gotta talk about where it's like, with the comparison of Mad Max and stuff, it's like, Mad Max does have some really ugly, disgusting fucking people and characters in there, but there's a lot of personality and badass stuff in there with like, the way they use like the ruins of the old world. Where this one was so much like, for me, a big gripe I have with it is like everything looks like literal garbage. Like their clothes look like nasty shit rags they found in like sewage pipes and like marinated in like garbage juice and then like sewed together with like plastic scraps and stuff.
Everybody looks like they fucking stink to high heaven in this movie.
Like, yeah, it's like, and it's, you only get any kind of respite, I feel like, with that visual in like the last 15 minutes and like during explosions and like some action scenes.
Yeah, you know, you're right. You know, it's just like a dirty, ugly, like disgusting movie to exist in, you know? Like,
yeah, it's a lot grosser than I expected. Like,
yeah. Well, you know, I thought the, I thought like a lot of the content was, I don't mean gross in a way like, oh, this movie should be fucking canceled, but I was surprised at like how far this movie went in terms of like, okay, she's just going to like be the lead female is going to like give herself up to Kevin Costner in exchange for being able to live on the boat. Or like the guy comes along and he's like, okay, how much for the little girl for 30 minutes with the little girl? I was like, Jesus, like this is a big budget blockbuster. And I'm not saying like you shouldn't be able to have that kind of content in a movie. I'm just saying that like I was surprised that it was going to go that far in a Kevin Costner movie from the mid-90s. You know what I mean? It just seems like really weird.
And that's what I mean, where it seems like things are just kind of stitched together. You know, like the drifter like offering like 45 minutes for the little girl, gross, but you can make that work in a movie.
Yeah.
But you can't make that work in a movie where that happens and then like you have to sit through like 5 minutes of the little girl like telling Kim Costner like I forget the nobody has names in this movie. I totally forget the surrogate mom's name, but he's like Ella. You know, that might be it. Like Helen says that you don't like my hair because, or like you wouldn't be so ugly if you cut your hair. Helen says that you don't like my singing because you can't sing. Like, okay, like that's also like a fine concept. You know, have like the annoying, curmudgeonly little girl who like he slowly becomes fond of. But I feel like you can't have both of those scenes in the same movie. Mm-hmm. Like it's either like you either have to go like full like okay we're gritty and it's kind of gross and then like okay but he's got this like redemptive part where like even in this like collapsed society he has enough morals to say no, like you know I'll sell her surrogate mom, but you don't touch the little girl. Like I don't have to like her to know that that's wrong. Or you can have like you know her being a little curmudgeon, like oh she'll be endearing eventually. But it just doesn't work to do both those scenes. And also, like, really close to one another. Like, just timing-wise.
You know, are either of you aware that there's a longer cut of this movie?
I just learned about that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I...
Like Odyssey cut or something like that?
I think it's called the Ulysses cut.
Yeah. So, I think this movie is too long as it is, and they made the correct decision in releasing a cut down version, which is the theatrical cut. When I had heard about Waterworld previous to watching this movie, I had heard that it was really, really long. Like it was crazy long, like over 3 hours or something like that. So I think that I had what the version I had heard about was the Ulysses cut, because I was surprised when I turned this on and it was only 2 hours and some change. But there are long, the pacing in this movie is super weird. It starts with the best action set piece in the movie opens the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like wouldn't we all agree? Like that opening action set piece goes on for fucking ever.
Are you talking about like just him being like, doesn't he like fight people like trying to board his boat, or are you talking about like big, like, raft society he first
the raft society is like
okay
the it's like 15 minutes 20 minutes into the movie and it's like way bigger budget than the final one with Dennis Hopper. I mean, except for blowing up the whole, you know, boat, which is I'm sure it was they just did at the end of filming because they were done with it. It's like the end of Hard Boiled where they blow that hospital up. It's like we're not shooting in here anymore. So like the pacing is so weird. It, like that action scene is like right off the bat, and there are long stretches where we're on the water and nothing is happening, and people are talking. Like it's him and the woman talking to each other in like camera A, camera B, camera A, camera B, and they just don't say anything and they just go on forever about fucking nothing. And then that weird guy comes on their boat to like get with the women, and it goes on forever. Like, yeah. It's just, and then there are some parts, and then like Neil said, there are parts of the movie that are squished together because they ran out of time. Like, we have that scene, and then it's butted right up against him taking the daughter for swimming lesson, or we have the scene where like all the invaders find out where they are, or they like fall into the Dennis Hopper trap, and they just finish fighting off those guys, and then like 2 minutes later, he's like, "All right, I'm gonna take you down to the city and to see dry land. It's actually underwater." And in my mind, I was like, are those guys even gone yet? Like, you just scared them off. Like, are they probably still floating around here somewhere? So,
and even the end, too, like, it feels like it's wrapping up after the big, like, climactic fight on the, like, oil tanker. And then, like, Dennis Hopper, like, somehow gets, like, it's like he's using bats and he got a perfect crit and he, like, hits. What? Doesn't he, like, hit the girl or something and she, like, falls? And then they use that makeshift bungee and he jumps and grabs her at the end. Like, holy shit, dude. Like,
yeah, that whole sequence should have been cut.
Yeah.
Dude, I was fucking dying laughing during the sequence where it was like the girl narrating about Kevin Costner. It was like, he can hide in the shadows in the middle of noon in the day. And I was like, this dude has fucking web feet. He's not Batman. Yeah.
And even this, I was like, it kind of reminds me of why people always like shit on like Aquaman is like this, like he's kind of like Aquaman. And I mean, like, I don't know, dude, there's so much in this movie just like constantly kept grossing me out. Like, I feel like there was like 5 minutes dedicated to like that nasty like diarrhea water he almost like drowned in when he was in the cage.
It's like drowning somebody in fucking chicken tiki masala.
Yeah, and I think they or like the aftermath of it, like I feel like he had like when he came into that like settlement and they like pushed like a dead woman into there for I don't know burial or whatever.
And see, but that's the kind of like, it's gross, but that's the part of the movie that I like. Mm-hmm. I liked the stuff that's like establishing the world and like how things work and like how people have had to adapt to this crazy situation that they're in, and like, you know, they've come up with their own culture and, you know, ways that they've have to survive. That's interesting to me. I like watching that part of that, and like, and you get that juxtaposition between the people who live on the atolls and then the smokers on the freaking Exxon Valdez, which is just such a great
Neil, can you enlighten me, who is the person that they're like praying to on the boat?
I don't know if that's like a real life person, but you know, he's the captain of the ship in the past, and like the Exxon Valdez is a famous oil spill ship.
We looked that up because we were curious. So that guy, he was like, I think the captain of that ship. And I think he was intoxicated when the accident happened, which was, I think, in 1989. So this came out in 95.
Right.
And he, they said you can see like him having a bunch of like Jack Daniels and everything, like, you know, throughout the ship and the movie. It's like, yeah, he'd been probably boozing on that big ship.
It's awesome.
It's crazy.
Yeah, that was interesting. Yeah, I agree with you, Neil. There's like a lot of interesting stuff in like,
I definitely the wanted more of
society. I wanted, I know, like, I didn't want to sound like a parody of myself, but like, that was something I wanted. I wanted like more explanation, like, what the fuck happened? Like, they're like, the polar ice caps melted. And I'm like, how quickly did that happen?
Yeah.
Where you didn't, none of society survived. You know what I mean? Like, polar ice caps melting seems like something that would take some time, and like humans would figure out a way to like deal with it, kind of. And it seems like 0.001% of the population survived. So, like, what's the state of the world? And like, and what bit of land is elevated enough that they get to, at the end, dry land, where there's now horses running around, because there certainly wouldn't be horses on top of Mount Everest. You know what I mean? It's like,
I mean, so 2 points. So number one, the original writer stated that, like, I'm fully aware that the polar ice caps melting
wouldn't flood the earth.
Not, but like, it's like, don't think about it too hard. You know, I would say, as far as horses on Mount Everest, you know, you've got like friggin' Mongolia, not too far away from Nepal. You know, if it was a more gradual thing, I don't think it would be too crazy to have the horses like, oh, ocean's rising, better get closer and closer to Everest kind of thing. But
Grace, yeah, and I mean, a recurring joke where I'm like always up right on the edge of getting really into Mongolian folk music. Just because I like the throat singing bit of it, where they're like,
well, how you want to audition for the next Dune movie to be a Sonic yeah. car singer, Sam?
Yeah,
that's right. I still have not seen Dune or Dune 2 in the Denis Villeneuve ones.
Really?
Sure. Really? Sure. I gotta. They're just so long, and there's so much sand, and so it gets excellent. Everywhere.
God damn it, Sam.
Oh man, that's great. All right, Jesus, what else do we want to say about this fucking thing?
One other point about forgetting about the movie being like really gross. And then like, so there's the scene where again, I think you're right, Helen. The actress is Gian Triplehorn. Mm-hmm. Great last name, Triplehorn. Yeah. There's a scene where she offers herself to Kevin Costner's character, like, you know, keep the little girl and I'll have sex with you kind of thing. She, I guess from IMDb is that she had previously done nude roles and did nude roles after this one, but she refused to do the nude role for this one. So I don't know what that says about her relationship with, like, with Kevin Costner or what was going on there, but she demanded a body double for that one scene.
That's awesome. Hmm.
That is curious.
Yeah. It's just like, what's going on there?
Well, even like with some of the sexual stuff, like when they end up having sex later, I'm like, God, like on this rusty, slimy ass ship in this nasty net thing and their gross clothes. And then like even afterwards, she touches like the crayons that the girl had been playing with and they've been like melting in the sun. But she's not just like touching them. She's like rubbing her hands in like the melted. I'm like, everything that like there's so much going on in this movie that is just like giving me the ick in that kind of way of just like, oh my God, that is nasty. Like,
geez. I know exactly what you mean because I always get grossed out about like close talkers in old movies from the 30s and the 40s. Like when everybody was constantly drinking and smoke, like when we watched Double Indemnity and every conversation between the romantic interest in that movie, they're like this close to each other. And yeah. I know everybody smells like fucking alcohol and cigarettes, and they just smell fucking disgusting. And he's like, as sure as $10 make a dime, baby. I'm like, ugh. It grosses me out thinking about, like, they're out on the open ocean, everybody's hot and sweaty, and now they have to kiss. And it makes me want to puke a little bit.
Well, and even, like, with the little girl, I felt bad for her because it's like, at times, she's in, like, more revealing clothing then like the mom figure, and then like there's that whole plot point with like the map is on her back, so they're always like lifting up her shirt. I'm like, stay the hell away from this little girl, you fucking gremlin people in this movie.
Like, if you're gonna make an adult, I don't mean like, you know, a triple X movie, I mean like if you're gonna make an adult oriented like mature movie, make an adult oriented mature movie, that's fine, but like, you know, the rest of the script has got to raise to that level and not just be like some shitty Mad Max ripoff. Yeah, it's like whatever.
I will say I did love, and I another thing I wish we had more. I loved his like boat thing and how he kind of had like a bunch of different gadgets on it. Like when he I don't know, he opened up like the front of it and that like parachute came out and he kind of like could speed away. Like I thought that stuff was really cool, and I definitely wanted more of that.
Yeah.
Well, boys.
Before we get to the wrap-up portion, I do want to talk just a little bit more about the production of this movie, just to gross Gideon out more.
Yeah, go for it.
So, to film this movie, they constructed a artificial atoll for like $25 million worth of steel. Not to actually constructing it, just the steel. And they used up all the available steel in Hawaii. So they had to like fly in more to get it there on time.
Holy shit, dude.
But
constructing, cutting out a little bit, Neil.
Oh, sorry. But while constructing it, it did not come, tried porta potties, and the porta potties, didn't work. So like there was just like a raw sewage smell until they finally brought in a boat that just had it was just the dedicated bathroom boat. But that still meant you had to like to get off of set, you had to get onto another boat and get ferried to the dedicated bathroom boat.
Oh my god.
And so like they were only like able to like get like 6 or 7 shots a day. Because it was just like, you know, people need to use the bathroom. People need to
Yeah, apparently Steven Spielberg came to them and was like, "Don't do this." And they were like, "We're doing it anyway," because he had had major experience with shooting a blockbuster on the water and knew that your camera boat is gonna like shift and it's gonna add so much production time to everything. And they were just like, "Nah, we know better than you, Spielberg." And he's like, "All right." And then they just fucked the whole thing up and nothing worked. And they like sunk a bunch of boats on accident and things had to be repaired. And I read that they added like $25 million to Hawaii's economy during the production.
Holy shit, dude.
Yeah.
Wow. I did want to add a few things. So we watched like a video kind of about the production after we wrapped up the movie from Joe Blow Productions on YouTube. And like, yeah, just hearing about the budget like expanding and the different cut, I think in the different cut there is like a plaque when they get to dry land and it does say it's like Everest, and Alyssa was like, "I told you, like I called that," which is so funny because she like mentioned that early on, because yeah, it's like, well, okay, the ice caps melted, or the pole, you know, the poles and everything melted, like, but like give me a little bit more than that, and we never get any more than that. There's a scene where when he has Helen like under in that observer thing, when he takes her like to the bottom where the city is or whatever, the stunt double like diving, like you see him kind of start to go back up. Apparently he almost like died. Like, I think he was like, didn't depressurize correctly or something like that. So, I mean, just this whole movie is like, I'm just so nervous for people like getting like, you know, this rusty metal like scraped against them. Like, I'm sure it's, you know, maybe it's just prop stuff like that, but it just looked so dangerous in so many ways. Like, so much effort for this.
Yeah. Yeah. The juice wasn't worth the squeeze, I think, as we often say. Like, they put so much effort into this. And then, they ended up using this same like ocean water closed set. They ended up using it to shoot Titanic, and just got totally mogged by James Cameron, who at that point had not yet lost his mind, and it was still making good movies. But man, what an epic undertaking that Titanic is in comparison to this. Like Titanic is 10 times the movie that Waterworld is, and damn, like Kevin Costner was kind of like not in a whole lot of super big stuff after this. Is that, would that be correct to say?
Yeah, like
Go ahead.
It was like huge, and this was just kind of like the studio thinking, okay, Kevin Costner is, you know, the greatest thing ever. We're willing to put this kind of money into a Kevin Costner movie, and then them learning that this was not necessarily a recipe for success.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking at it here, and yeah, it's like Waterworld in 95, and then yeah, it kind of falls off after that. I mean, most of the big movies in his career came out prior to that, like, you know, JFK, Robin Hood, I think Field of Dreams is 89, which is, you know, that's, hey, that's a best picture winner right there. So
he's in Yellowstone, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think Yellowstone was kind of considered a big comeback for him. Okay. Grace's parents absolutely love that show.
I always hear people talk about that. It sounds cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like a really interesting, there's a lot to say about that show. I mean, I haven't like seen it, but like the cultural, this is like totally off topic, but I guess we're about to wrap up anyway. Like I don't mean this as a political statement in either direction, but like generally speaking, like most like really big television shows are generally geared toward young people, and young people tend to be like more liberal or like city dwellers. And like most like big TV shows are like, you know, hip shows for hip young people. Like I think of like Severance, right? Mm. Or like Ted Lasso, or you know, things like this. And there's like a really interesting cultural phenomenon around like Yellowstone being geared at older, like being a hit television show that is geared almost toward an older, more conservative audience. It's like, it's really interesting in like how unique that is in TV. And we don't really think of it. You don't think of that audience like being super, profitable or marketable until they were. And like Yellowstone, like did crazy numbers. It turns out there's a big country, and there's room for that kind of a show if you want there to be that kind of a show. Mm-hmm. Yeah, super interesting stuff. I'll send you guys this like article about it that I read that I thought was like really interesting. Anyway, okay. Now that we're back in the giving movie scores, what do we think we want to give Waterworld, guys?
You want to go first?
Yeah, should I give it a 2 or 3? What do you guys think? Give me your arguments. Pro and con.
I'm gonna give it a 3. I strangely kind of compare it to Event Horizon, which I think if I had to go back and regrade, I might grade a little bit higher than I did. Like there is so much of this movie, like this, a lot of the skeleton is stuff that I like, and I wish that there was more fleshing out of those parts. And unfortunately, there's just like some like really just like bad aspects that just drag it down, but I think it's worth watching just from like an interest standpoint, and there are enough like unintentionally funny moments and again like interesting action set pieces that, you know, it's worth a watch. And I you know, as much as there are parts that I don't like, that just don't work, I think it is fundamentally sound, and I do enjoy enough of it to bump it into that 3 category. I think a really good edit of this movie with maybe some reshoots could probably have been a 4 for me, and unfortunately that just like doesn't quite exist, but I can see the potential.
Yeah, I think I'm right there with you, Neil. I'm going to go ahead and give it a 3 as well. I think there are a lot of 3s on this podcast that I've enjoyed more, or that there's like a solid argument that they are better, more technically sound movies. I kept thinking during this would have been a great like film in 40s movie in the old Searly house. Like this would have been like a perfect like with the bros kind of movie. It has too many like good individual elements for me to be, you know, think it's like a 1 or a 2, which is like kind of getting into the like I don't recommend this kind of territory. So yeah, I think a low 3 is kind of like where I stand on this.
Sure.
Are you good?
Yeah, for me, I don't know. I feel like I had a mostly negative reaction to the movie. It just wasn't to my taste for a lot of things. And so it would be between like a 1 and a 2 for me. I just think like visually not crazy about it. And like a lot of it is just kind of grossing me out on lots of different levels. And there's not like too much for me to grab onto, like even with a lot of the characters. It just kind of feels like disjointed. I totally believe that the different cut of the movie could be way better than this theatrical cut. I don't know if I'll really get around to watching it. I don't hate that I watched it, you know. I do think it, like Neil said, you know, it's definitely worth giving a shot and just kind of seeing what it's about. I've heard about it for so long. But yeah, definitely just more not to my taste for, I would say, yeah.
So are you going to land on a one or a two?
Oh, sorry. It will be a two, yeah.
Pick two,
sorry.
My lord.
Yeah, it'll be a two, because it's like, I can appreciate the effort, and there is so much practical stuff, and I'm always a fan of practical. But it almost feels like it's like so much effort, but like, kind of for what? Like just kind of for this like weird hodgepodge mess that seemed like dangerous and is like, you know, it's not, you know, like I couldn't think of people wanting to get like a Waterworld, I don't know, action figure or different things like that. You know what I mean?
Like, dude, so there's a Waterworld video game.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And there's holy also shit. A very well-reviewed Waterworld, like, Universal theme parks, like, water show.
Okay.
You go, they have, like, people diving in and out of the water and, like, jet ski stunts and everything. Apparently, it kicks ass, so.
Okay, I'll have to look that up, because I think Alyssa mentioned something about that, too.
The very Waterworld cool. video game is on, oh my god, it's on Virtual Boy, of all
things.
Oh
shit, dude.
I believe it's the only movie tie-in Virtual Boy game.
Yeah, that yeah, because the wow. Virtual Boy has like 10 games or something like that. So that's crazy that Waterworld is one of those games. That is
crazy.
There are 22 Virtual Boy games. Interesting.
Wow.
Fun fact: my Aunt Christy actually has a Virtual Boy that she's kept since like my cousin Chucky had it in the 90s, and she just kept it in the garage. So I played a bunch of Virtual Boy when I was over at her house. Holy shit, dude. A wee lad. Yeah, and it sucks. It's horrible.
Did your eyes like bleed every time you took it off?
No, my eyes are fine. So I don't know. It's great. It says my hearing is going. Okay, we got to go. We got to get out of here. What are we doing next week? Gideon?
I will get back to you guys. I have a couple ideas, but will let you know. I have one I could ask. Have you guys seen Cruel Intentions?
No.
Neil?
I heard about Cruel Intentions in high school.
Okay.
Roger Cumble.
Let me make sure.
Is a teen Cruel Intentions is a teen romantic drama?
Yes.
Sarah Michelle Gellar. Okay.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Let's do that.
Cool. I can do that.
Okay, awesome.
97 minutes. You're speaking my language.
There you go.
I like this. Okay. Sounds good, guys. Well, we'll talk to you guys next week. Neil, hopefully your schedule works out. We can do a podcast. And see you guys later.
All right. See you. Take care, boys.
Later.